again. My name is Yuki. I use they, them pronouns, and I work at Nokia. And this is Telco Pride. This is the first episode of our podcast, and the short version is, we're a bunch of LGBTQ plus people and allies from across the telecoms industry. We are the companies that run the networks and the ones that build them, and of course the suppliers who keep it all going. We compete on nearly everything, just not on this. For years, this was a live stream every June. This year, it's the podcast you are listening to. We wanted to start where it's most personal. So the question for this one is easy to ask, and not all that easy to answer. What does it actually feel like to be out, to be yourself, at work in 2026? At a moment when a lot of companies have gone a little quiet about all this, we want to know what it's actually like. And I'm not the one answering that. Four people live it are. Helge in Oslo has worked almost 10 years at Telia. Urte in Lithuania is newer to Telia and out from the very first day. Mia in Canada has worked years in tech, in the supplier side of it, and is a musician on the side. And finally, Chris, who came up through this industry and now spends his days trying to build better leaders. Two of them sit inside a telco, two from the wider world we all work in, which is rather the point. Okay, that's enough for me. Here's the conversation.
Hi, my name is Urte Tamutita. I'm from Lithuania, living in the capital, but actually from Klaipeda, this port city. And working in Telia as a sustainability specialist for almost a year now.
Hello, I'm Helge Grunberg. I also work for Telia. I'm a delivery specialist and a subject manager in the Datacom department enterprise. Been in Telia for 10 years next week. So it's been a while. And live in Oslo.
Hello, I'm Mia. Pronouns are they, them. I've been working in tech for close to 7 years now. And I am at Celestica right now, but I also do some side music things, so always keeping busy.
My name is Chris. I've been also working in Telia for 9 years. Now I'm working as head of leadership development in a consultancy firm, basically with around 10 people within that field. I also write a book on that, kind of how can we create better leaders, cultures, and teams that thrive and are, of course, diverse and where everybody can be themselves. And I was lucky to be part of Nokia's program for out leaders with Mia, which is a great platform to connect with other queer people and also kind of find the strength in being ourselves and also walking in front for those who maybe can't do that at the moment, at least. So in it together, so the world becomes better for all of us.
So the big question for this episode, what does it feel like to be out in the workplace in 2026?
I think it's varied from where you are. And when I was in the Nokia Outstanding Leaders course, we had a lot of discussions about this. And it's a bit divided. Some come out and wants to be as far out as they can be and showing up and being themselves 100%, while others may want to hide behind a mask to be taken more seriously in the workplace. What I realized for myself was how much of a mask I was wearing in the workplace and that I am wearing day to day. Talking to a lot of the contacts from the Outstanding Leaders and a lot of the community here in Oslo as well, I realized that we all are wearing that mask quite intensely. Even if we are straight passing or if we are like very flamboyant or what you want to call it, like everybody's trying to hide a bit because we also need to work a bit harder to be taken serious in a lot of situations. So I think it is important to try to be out, but we have to find a good way to be out as well.
When do you have examples of like the maps that you have to wear at work and where you've seen that?
I don't behave the same way at work as I do in private. And of course you have a work persona and you have a private persona. we are different people. But for instance, with my close coworkers, I can talk openly about my partner or dating life or those type of things. But if I'm talking to other departments where they are talking about their wives, etc., I might not be as comfortable talking about my life, even if I know that they know I am gay, because I've been open the entire time I've been in Telia, but I also don't try to flaunt it. I don't wear the pride colors that much at work. I want to be taken serious because of my work, and I need to work harder to prove that I can do it, even though I am gay, if it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting topic, because I personally have found that there were times in my life where I could wear that mask, and now it has become harder and harder, for better or for worse, right? When you identify as non-binary, I am in Canada, so, you know, generally it is very well accepted, but people's languages, it's really hard to adapt. It's really hard to learn to say these pronouns, because it's not in our usual vocabulary, usually. And for me, being more flamboyant and having like purple hair actually helps in some ways to be more myself. And sometimes I wonder if I am taking less seriously, and I really hope that we can drive towards a workplace where no matter how you present yourself, you can be taken seriously. And you don't have to have a specific, like, you know, jacket or dress or whatever.
And I think to me, I don't think I've ever felt gay or felt part of the LGBTQIA community, because for me, it's only been, I like one man and kind of that's it for me in a sense. But I see it when working with leaders and everything from top executives to no matter gender, race, ethnicity, whatever, or a part of the letters and rainbow or functions and different kind of lifestyles or age and so on. I feel like it's a human thing to try to fit in. So even kind of white men 50 plus, they are not themselves. Women are not themselves.
Yeah, I think this helps a lot with allyship, is this idea that we're all different. Mm-hmm. And I have connected a lot more with either like leadership or, you know, straight, whatever, white, all genders and races and whatnot, when we acknowledged the weirdness that we are. Like, everybody's weird. And I think that's lovely. And that's part of the movement, is celebrating the weirdness, celebrating the differences. And I think we should celebrate it at work too, within reason. Without telling yourself to the devil, hopefully.
I have a very fun coming out story. I hope my colleague won't mind, because she's a very good friend of mine. But when I just came to do my internship here, like I always, at all of my workplaces, I just decided when I started working, I'm not going to hide that like I have a partner, a girlfriend. Because like in Lithuanian language, we only have one word that does not give out what gender you're dating, is like my other half. We can't even say partner, because we have to assign a gender to that word. So and if you like say other half, it's already sus. That's like, why are you talking like that? So basically I just said like, oh, this weekend we just, me and my girlfriend, we were doing that, and my colleague was like, what did you say, girlfriend? You have a girlfriend? This is so funny. And like, he was so overly excited that I have a girlfriend and that he has this diverse colleague, that it also like made me feel weird a little bit. I just want to be like, just talk about my other half and not maybe be taken that seriously. But at the same time, it was also fun to be celebrated like in that way, because you expect kind of to have some hate or some weird eyes, but then you have this huge happiness from that.
I've found personally that when you connect with a person to person, that part of being queer is simple. I think the one that at work is harder is when you ask for policy changes, is when you ask for things to change physically in the office. So for example, for me, being able to use the women's washroom was really simple. Like, no one asked, whatever. But then they did a whole renovation of one of the offices where I used to work. And it was an uphill battle to get a kind of like non-gendered bathroom. And personally, for me, I think it would have been better for everyone if we just, instead of having like stalls where you see people's feet and it's really awkward at the workplace, you just have, you know, unique bathrooms and it can be shared with the, you know, where you wash your hands. But that was so hard. And the only thing that we ended up having is a little closet on the side that says like non-gendered and disabled people. And it's like, why do you want to shove people away? Let's change the workplace so that it's more comfortable for everybody. But that becomes really hard. And that's why we need allies, right? It's so difficult to change environments, policies, and it's a lot easier to connect as people. And that, that part, I think we're doing very well.
That's great. And like, we've also had that discussions in many workplaces, and I actually don't understand when we complain about queues in the men's or the women's bathroom, and we kind of, but we still need 6 out of each, and kind of, when did the toilet look at your gender to accept the things that comes out of your body? Like, it's only we that complicated, like, just name it a toilet. How difficult is that? But what they forget is like, why do you care about having an opinion about the flag when it can actually hurt, or even in the worst cases, make sure that people end their lives or are killed? How much does it matter for you to have the right kind of intellectual discussion about the flag when it can save lives if you shut up and just flag that flag? That's insane to me.
But I've been thinking a bit about like the flag, because as you said, discussion we're having in Norway, and I think we have it all over. And as a community, I think that we are placing so much in the flag and focusing much more on the flag than maybe structural changes that we need to do in society. So it might be noise that makes us not focus on the correct things. Focusing too heavily on the flag and not the rights, as it is, okay, if you're a same-sex couple and are having children and getting the same maternity or parental leave, these type of things, like the structural change is the most important. And yes, we have to think about how society views us, and the flag is a good way to see this. We can't forget the other issues in society and only focus on the flag.
Yeah, but I think you're right. But then again, I have become more and more pragmatic to, if the flag can save somebody and make their life a bit more comfortable, that's not focusing too much on it. Every human life that can be a bit better is worth flagging. I feel like the ones who make the discussion or the time or the consumption of having the flag is they that want to ban it as a principal cause, not thinking about the human beings around it. I don't use anything on the flag. I don't even flag myself. But I'm observing, and I don't understand how white men, 50 plus or whatever, who's not queer, are so aggressive against removing a flag that can save lives. But let's not focus on the flag, but let the people see them so it can save their lives and make it a bit more comfortable for them. And then we can do the policy changes on top and then focus 80% on that, totally agreeing with you.
But I must ask Duncan, is like, why don't you use the flag?
But I don't bash other people then using the flag or the right to, or in public institution. If I was a company with a public facing office, for example, and we use it at our offices because we want our people to see the signal that we support you. Even though we're not out, you will see a symbol that means that we are friendly or ally or whatever. Personally, I've never kind of, because I think it's the surface level. And that's maybe, I'm also curious, Mia, I'm asking about the pronouns. And to me, that's kind of a flag, or the, as you said, purple hair. That's really important on the surface level because there's so much on the structural level that's not okay. So we also need to kind of show others, hey, we're here, we're queer, whatever, as a symbol.
I personally think that symbols are very important. The more outside of the normalcy you are, the more visible you become, whether you want it to be or not. I gave pronouns as an example, but there's plenty of different, you know, identities and things. And this comes back to like celebrating our differences and accepting people. And you gave the example of like having the flag, right? Like someone who has the flag on their offices, even if they are not queer and you want people to feel welcome, you putting the flag up, whatever the flag, is important. And so that's what symbols can do for us. And I think is really useful. Again, like, you know, the hair, the tattoos for me is a symbol of welcoming people who are different. I'm putting it out there, right? And I know it's political and I accept it. And I'm actually super curious because Urta, you have like a very different perspective from us because I come from a country that, you know, my rights are protected by the law, right?
Yeah.
In so many ways. But then what is happening with like the symbols or how does that transcribe to your lived experience?
Yeah, I was just thinking when you were talking about just like a flag being by a company and the importance of symbols is, for me personally, it was very important to know that Telia like accepts all of us and they even like go out of their way to show that you accept LGBT. Like we have an internal document confirmed that all the couples, if you're married or not in same sex as well, have the same labor laws applied to them as married couples would. So that includes childcare and like all you can think of. So that was like an immediate signal that I can be free here and I can be myself here and easily say I have a girlfriend because it was like 98% of the colleagues voted to support this change in the internal law.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's a huge support that you don't get from the society and the law in the country, because there was a recent study done in Lithuania in 2023 that only 22% of Lithuanians support same-sex marriage and 60% do not. So that's a huge difference in the country and in the company. So showing that like the support definitely helps.
What's the one thing you'd want a listener to take away? And what gives you hope here?
I've heard so many people ask me, how do I be a better ally? What can I do? And honestly, read, be open, educate yourself, listen to these conversations, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. One of my most, like, the ally that was closest to my heart was Tiffany from my other job. And she didn't do anything particularly, you know, out there, right? She was just there and she was so curious and she was so open to the difference of people. And it really showed in her, like, every day how she presented herself. So to me, that's the important thing, is participate in these conversations. Don't be afraid to make mistakes and be yourself.
Yeah, I think where the easiest and best change happens is where it's closest to our hearts. So in general, I think practicing a better ally for any minority and also the majority, I would say, starts with looking around you, the closest friends or the people you are leading or your team. And who do you know or see that maybe have some more colors or something they don't dare to show or talk about at work, that can be struggles in life or that can be you know, of their hobbies or some talents. I'm playing piano like me, and encourage people to show more of their talents, their full backpacks and colors, or wear some different clothes or whatever they fancy. Because I heard on a conference, an international researcher was talking about 75% in a new study of our energy at work goes into trying to fit in, say the right things, adapt to the person in front of us, to the leaders. And to me, that's the most important thing about being able to be ourselves with all our colors. That's me being neurodivergent. That's me being boringly always dressed in navy. That's being like having a crazy plant lady at home and so on. I think that's about living a happier life, healthier life, and also using all your energy to be serving a purpose that's meaningful to you instead of wasting your life and 75% of your energy to adapt and please other people. To me, that's a waste of life, and the life is quite short, so let's make the best out of it.
Yes. I don't know, my maybe main point is just be your own weird. I love that I can be my own weird at the workplace. And maybe just from my previous point, I think that in this environment that I live in, I think, like, I feel acceptance of being an LGBT maybe firstly in my friend group, but then immediately secondly is at work. And maybe just a message to, if there's any allies listening, that you can be a big part of that, of my life or any other LGBT colleague of yours, if you just show that support, especially if you're living like in this climate that I am living in.
The importance of that our companies are accepting us and allowing us to be our full self, to have the purple hair, to have the navy blue full dress, and to talk about your girlfriend and nobody raising an eye. And the biggest thing an ally can do is to make sure that the company you work in is actually protecting and taking care of the minorities, not just our community, but all minorities in the company. Like, make it a safe space, because that would also attract the people. As you said, that like, it's a big reason you chose Telia, that they accept LGBTQ+. So for the companies as well, you'll get more talent if you protect everyone.
And more diverse talent.
Yes.
I think it's also key.
We need diverse talent. Absolutely.